When she go down. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are continuing with the 15th verse of the 15th chapter, the second part today. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha Vedaishya sarvair aham eva vedyo Vedanta krid veda ved eva chaham Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto Mattah smritir jnanam apohanam cha Vedaishya sarvair aham eva vedyo Vedanta krid veda ved eva chaham Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto Mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha Vedaishya sarvair aham eva vedyo Vedanta krid veda ved eva chaham Of all living beings Cha and Aham I Hridi in the heart Sannivishtaha, being situated, Mattaha, from me, Smritihi, remembrance, Jnanam, knowledge, Apohanam cha, and forgetfulness, Vedaihi, by the Vedas, cha, also, Sarvaihi, all, aham, I am, eva, certainly, vedyaha, knowable, vedanta krit, the compiler of the Vedanta, vedavet, the knower of the Vedas, eva, certainly, Cha and Aham I. Translation by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. I am seated in everyone's heart, and from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. By all the Vedas am I to be known. Indeed, I am the compiler of Vedanta, and I am the knower of the Vedas.
Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundinatarinam वंशाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो महावदान्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्पुषे नमः। हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकांत राधाकांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
सो टुडे वी आर कंटिन्यूइंग विद द सेम वर्स दैट वी डिड लास्ट टाइम। For those of you who were here last time, you will remember that we covered the first two lines of this shloka, Sarvasya Chaham Hridi Sannivishto Mattah Smritir Jnanam Apohanam Cha, in which Lord Krishna says that He is seated in everyone's heart and from Him comes remembrance, knowledge and forgetfulness. And in this way we saw that every small aspect of our lives is being guided by the super soul or the Paramatma who is seated within the heart. We saw that all desires ultimately have to be fulfilled by the Paramatma. The living entity only has the desire, he only has the independence to desire, but he does not have the power to fulfill his desire. For the fulfillment of his desire, he is completely dependent on the Lord in the heart. He cannot even lift one finger, he cannot even think one thought without the help of the Paramatma from within. So the Paramatma is impartial in every respect, therefore he fulfills all our desires, whether they are good or bad. According to our desire, we will get the appropriate reaction, which is also given to us by the Paramatma. So when we desire material things, Lord Krishna from within the heart, he helps us. And in this way, we are entangled in the reactions of our karma and we get caught in the cycle of birth and death. And we have been so caught from time immemorial for many, many millions of lives. On the other hand, if we desire that we have to get out of the cycle of birth and death, then also Lord Krishna helps us from within. And He gives us the proper intelligence to actually come to the association of devotees. And not only that, He gives us the Vedas from the outside. You see, ultimately, all guidance can be given only by Krishna, not by anything else or anyone else. But Krishna manifests through so many different mediums for our benefit. So He manifests through the medium of the spiritual master, the Guru. He manifests through the medium of the devotees of the Lord, the sadhus. He manifests Himself through the medium of His holy name. He manifests Himself through the medium of His deity form, the Archa Vigraha. And of course, He manifests Himself through the medium of the scripture, which is the Veda. So Lord Krishna is saying here that He not only gives us knowledge from within as a Paramatma, but He is also appearing externally as a scripture or the Veda to guide us. So Veda or scripture is nothing but the sound incarnation or the literary incarnation of God for the sake of guiding conditioned souls like us in this material world so that we can go back to Godhead, we can go back to the kingdom of God. That is the purpose of the whole Veda or scripture. The meaning of the word Veda means knowledge. It includes everything. Every knowledge that is possible to obtain in this material world is all included within the term Veda. The Vedic scriptures give us all kinds of knowledge. Many people think that the Vedas only give us some ritualistic kind of knowledge. But factually we find the Vedas are giving us not only spiritual knowledge, but they also give us material knowledge. You will be amazed to know the range of subjects which are covered in the Vedas. There are Vedic scriptures that deal with advanced mathematics. There are Vedic scriptures that deal with the design of flying aeroplanes. There are Vedic scriptures that deal with grammar, with linguistics. There are Vedic scriptures that deal with drama, music, poetry, literature, and every conceivable thing. There are Vedic scriptures dealing with architecture and engineering. So like that, the Vedic scriptures cover every aspect of our life. Of course, Krishna has done this with the intention of helping people materially and spiritually. Krishna is a very practical person. He knows that in this world, you cannot simply expect people to take to the spiritual path unless you give them some material incentives and some material facilities also. So therefore, he has given all these things in the Vedas. So everything is there in the Vedas. So the knowledge that we are seeking today in the material world through so many other ways of technology, science and so on is already there in the Vedas. We are simply changing its form. There is no need for us practically to go about doing research. Whatever is necessary for our existence in this material world has already been given for us in the Vedas. So if there is something beyond the Vedas that we are trying to invent by our science, our technology and so on and so forth, it means that all these things are unnecessary from the point of view of human survival. We do not really need these things. But we are creating an artificial existence for ourselves and we think, oh, without this technology, how can I survive? So in the Veda, everything is given. The Veda is compared to a desire tree. You know what is a desire tree? A kalpavriksha. Kalpavriksha means it can fulfill any desire. And the Veda is like that. Because whatever you want in life, it will give you. And not only spiritual, even material. That is why you find that most people in this world who are materialistic, they approach the Vedas for getting some material benefit. This is called Karma Kanda. Karma Kanda means approaching the scriptures with the aim of deriving some material benefit by doing some ritualistic performances of sacrifices, japa, mantras, homas and so on and so forth. This is called Karma Kanda. So suppose you want good education. Okay, there is facility. You worship Mother Saraswati. There is a certain procedure or method by which you worship. And then you chant certain mantras, worship in a particular way, and you can get good education. Are you seeking a good husband or a good wife? That is also possible. If you want a good husband, a good husband, you worship Lord Shiva in a particular manner and he will fulfill. If you want a good wife, you worship Uma, his wife, and you will get a good wife. If you want material prosperity, you worship somebody else. So whatever you want in life, materially, you can get by approaching the Vedas. Of course, that is not the purpose. But most people, they have got misled. Because most people have forgotten the real purpose of life. And everyone thinks the goal of life is simply trying to get more material enjoyment. They think by getting material enjoyment, I will be happy. So these people are called less intelligent people. In the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna cites a very important verse. He says, Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipaschitah ved vadratah partha nanyat astiti vadinah kamatmanah swargapara janma karma falapradan kriya vishesh bahulam bhogaishvarya gatim prati. He says, the Vedic literature has many flowery mantras and words. You may have heard sometimes some priests chanting the mantras. Sometimes it is very nice and melodious to hear. And especially when it is chanted in the proper chanda or the meter. So people, they get very much captivated by these various mantras. And Yam Imam Pushpitam Vacham, the flowery words of the Vedas. Because the Vedas are very nicely composed, very perfectly composed. So people get caught up by the externals, by the flowery words of the Vedas, and they think that the Vedas are simply promoting material enjoyment or worldly enjoyment. So such people are called Vedvad Ratah. Vedvad Ratah means the so-called followers of the Vedas. They are not really the followers of the Vedas because they have not really understood the essence of the Vedas. They are simply going by the externals, the superficial understanding of the Vedas. They have not got the real gist. What is the real purpose of the Vedas? And so they are called avipaschitaha, which means less intelligent people. Their intelligence has somehow been distorted. And what is their goal of life? They think the whole goal of life is simply to enjoy worldly life. That's all. And by taking help of all these rituals of karmakanda given in the Vedas, I can get wealth, I can get good name and fame in society, and perhaps in the next life I can get birth in the Swargaloka and the heavenly planets, and in this way I can enjoy life. So Lord Krishna says such people are not at all intelligent, because they don't understand that this material world is a place of misery. As we have discussed a couple of sessions back, A Brahma Bhuvana Loka Punha Avartino Arjuna. This material world, whether you go to the topmost planet, the Swargaloka in this world, or you go down to Patala Lok, whether you go to America, whether you go to Ethiopia or India, all are places of misery. You cannot escape misery in this world. So someone who is trying to go to the Vedas for getting some material enjoyment is considered to be a very, very less intelligent person. The Vedas are a desire tree. What is the meaning of a desire tree? It fulfills any desire. But because of our less intelligence, we do not even know what to desire. This story, little story I may have described to you in one of the earlier sessions. There was one old lady. She was used to working very hard, day and night. And one day she was carrying a lot of load from the jungle back to the village. Every day that was her daily duty. And one day, God appeared in front of her. And God said, I'm very pleased with you, so I will grant you any boon. You ask me anything you like. So what did she ask for? There was nothing beyond her range of thinking apart from her daily life. She thought, my going to the forest, coming back and going and living, eating my two meals a day, this is all there is to life and nothing more than that. So she said, yes, you see my right shoulder is paining because of this load, so you please help me transfer it from this shoulder to that shoulder. So just see, God is there personally in front of her. She could have asked anything, but she just asked for shifting the load from this shoulder to that shoulder. Because she had no conception of what God is and what God can give. It's like going to Tata or Birla and asking for a donation of 5 rupees or 10 rupees. Huh? So like that, people don't know what is the Vedas. What Veda can give you? What is the potency of the Vedas? It is a desire tree. It can fulfill and give you eternal life. It can give you eternal happiness, real bliss of life. And here we are seeking some good benefit, we are seeking a little bit of money, we are seeking some good husband, good wife, at the most we are seeking Swargaloka. So therefore Lord Krishna says avipaschitaha. So the real purpose of the Vedas is to understand God. And the other things are simply frills and fancies to simply attract our mind to it. Lord Krishna's idea is that somehow or the other the people in this world must be attracted to the spiritual path. The people in this world have come here. We are all here in this world because we wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna. We wanted to be here to be enjoyers. So God knows that we are here with the enjoying mentality. And unless He gives us some little carrot, some little bit of incentive, we are not going to be tempted to come towards the scripture at all. So the Lord says, okay, you enjoy worldly life, but at least regulate it. At least regulate it in the way that I am giving you in the scripture. And then by so doing, gradually you will be elevated in your consciousness, and one day you will come to realize all this worldly enjoyment is futile. Why am I simply struggling for all this? Even if I go to Swargaloka, Kshine Punya Martyalokam Vishanti, after my punyas are over and I have enjoyed in the heavenly planets, I will again come down. What is the use of all this temporary enjoyment? So let me get down to the real business of life. Let me understand what is the real purpose of the Vedas. So therefore Lord Krishna is explaining here in the third line, Vedaishya Sarve Aham Eva Vedyo. He says the whole purpose of the Vedas is to know me. Who is me? Who is that me? That me is Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There is no question. Aham. Aham means I, Lord Krishna says. There is no question of understanding anything else. So understanding Lord Krishna is the real goal of the Vedas. And if we have gone through all the Vedas, but we have not understood Krishna, it means that all our studies of the Vedas is worth one big zero. And if we have understood Lord Krishna, and we don't know anything else about the Vedas, it means that what? That we know all the Vedas. Even though we have not read the Vedas, but if you know Lord Krishna, then you know all the Vedas. That is the verdict of what Lord Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, Lord Krishna says, Yavan artha udapane sarvatah samplutodake tavan sarveshu vedeshu brahmanasya vijanatah. He says, just like if you have a big reservoir of water, all your requirements of water can be fulfilled. You don't have to go to all the small little ponds of water. Similarly, for one who has understood the real purpose of the Vedas, he doesn't have to really go and study all the individual scriptures of the Vedas. It's not necessary. In fact, it's just a waste of time. Just like sometimes you may have a problem and you may need 50 rupees to solve that problem. Sometimes you may have 100 rupees and you may need 100 rupees to solve that problem. So, but if you have 10 lakh rupees with you, then all your 50 rupee, 100 rupee, 200 rupee, 500 rupee problems are automatically solved. Similarly, if you have the purpose of the Vedas, Krishna with you, if you have understood Krishna, then automatically all the other purposes of the Vedas are served. They're ancillary purposes, you don't need to do it. You're already gone to the root. So you know Krishna, you don't need to do anything else. So this is the secret that is given in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, Bhagavad Gita is also part of the Vedas. And it is the essence of all the Vedas. The Vedas are compared to a cow. There are many scriptures in the Vedas. And they are all compared to the cow. The milk is compared to the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna is like a calf who is drinking the milk. And Krishna is like the transcendental or the divine milkman who is milking the cow. And he is giving us this milk. What is that milk? The distilled essence of the whole Vedic knowledge. So this one book, Bhagavad Gita, is sufficient to give us all that we need to know. There is no need to go to this Purana, this Upanishad, that Upanishad. It's very complicated. When Vedavyas, he formulated the various Vedic literatures, originally there was only one, and then he subdivided them into four. Veda means knowledge, as I said earlier. And originally there was only one Veda. But somehow, because the Kali Yuga had begun at that time, he realized that the people of Kali Yuga, they are going to be so fallen that they are not going to be able to understand this Veda. So he was forced to subdivide it into four Vedas. The Veda is also called Shruti. Shruti means that which is heard, that which you hear. And Upanishad means that which is heard at the lotus feet of the Guru. So in the earlier days, you see, people had very good memories. It is said that in Kali Yuga, four things decline. One is all religious principles. Second is the duration of life. Third is the quality of mercy. And fourth is our memory power. It diminishes. So in the earlier ages, which means before Kali Yuga, in Satya, Treta and Dwapar Yuga, it was possible for people to hear the Vedas and remember them just once, by hearing it once. So there was no need for books. In the Gurukul system, the children, as soon as they were 5 years old, they were sent to the ashram of the Guru, the Gurukul. And they were trained by the Guru in all kinds of disciplines of knowledge. And the Guru simply spoke once. The children repeated. And simply by repeating, they memorized it. They understood it. Not only memorized it, they also understood it. That was the power in those ages. But as Kali Yuga began, Vedavyas understood that now the people of Kali Yuga, they're not going to be able to remember anything. So we need books and we need telephone directories and we need so many things. So therefore he split up the Vedas. People in the earlier ages, they were called Shruti Dhar. Shruti Dhar means one who can hold what he hears. One who can remember what he hears automatically. Even in modern times, we find rare, very rare examples of such people who have, by God's grace, this gift. Some years back in Bengal, this was the time when the Britishers were still here in this country. So there was one Bengali gentleman who was working in an office with two Britishers. And somehow or the other, the two Britishers got into some argument. And they started quarreling with each other. And a discussion between the two Britishers was going on. And finally the matter went into court. They decided to fight it out in court, the two Britishers. And this man, Bengali gentleman, was a silent spectator to all this. He was an employee in their office. And when the matter, but only thing is he did not understand English. He did not understand a word of English. So the matter was taken to the court. And then finally the judge saw that it is this man's word against that man's word. This man is saying something and that man is saying exactly the opposite. He's saying that he said this and he's saying, no, I never said this. So what to do? So the judge said, are there any witnesses you have? So there's, yes, there is one Bengali gentleman who was present when we were fighting, we were quarreling. So he said, summon that man. So that man came. And the judge spoke to him. The judge was also a Britisher. So through an interpreter, he understood that this man doesn't understand English. But the judge still wanted to inquire further. He said, did you understand something at all? Can you tell us what transpired between these two people? So through the Bengali language, he said, he conveyed to the judge that I can tell you that I have not understood anything, but I can tell you what they have said. So he said, what do you mean? You don't know a word of English, but you can tell us what they have said? How? He said, I can relate to you the whole conversation, whatever they have said. So what do you mean you can relate the whole conversation? Yes, I can speak whatever they spoke, but I don't know the meaning of that. And then he went on and reproduced the whole conversation that both the people had spoken without understanding a single word. And then the judge was amazed completely. All in the court were amazed. And the judge was very easily able to give the verdict. So of course such people are very rare now. But the point is that in this age also, even if you have one person who's a Shrutidhar, in earlier ages everyone was a Shrutidhar. It was normal. Today some person like this is considered to be a genius, or is considered to be a very rare person. But in earlier ages, if somebody forgot something after hearing once, he was considered to be an exceptional person. So therefore there was no need for writing down. Therefore the Vedas were called Shruti, to hear. But then he realized that Shruti is not enough, so you have to remember. So when the Vedavyas came, he had to write the Puranas. Puranas were called Smriti. Smriti means that which is to remember, to be remembered. What do you remember? That which you have heard. So therefore Smriti. Smriti means the Puranas. So in this way, Vedavyas, first of all, he subdivided the original Veda, which was the Yajur Veda. He subdivided them into Yajur Veda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda and Rig Veda. And along with each Veda, he wrote some Upanishads. And then finally, he wrote the Mahabharata, he wrote the various Puranas. So the whole purpose of all these things was to get us to understand Krishna. But now after having written all these things, he was still unsatisfied, dissatisfied. You see, Vedavyas is an incarnation of Krishna also. So it is said here that he is Vedavichaha. He is the knower of the Vedas and he is the compiler of the Vedanta, Vedanta Krit. Compiler of the Vedanta means that he is the one who has authored. So how has Lord Krishna authored the Vedas? Through the medium of Vedavyas, who is his incarnation. So Vedavyas is actually the composer of all the Vedic literatures. So still, he was playing this Leela. That when he composed all these literatures, he was still unsatisfied. He was feeling a certain vacuum within himself. That what to do? I have composed all the Vedas, all the Upanishads, all the knowledge. I have served my Guru. I have done all the regulative principles. I have followed all the sacrifices, yajnas, mantras, everything I have done. And still there is some vacuum in my heart, as if I have, there is something that is missing. So in this way he was feeling very distressed. And sensing his distress, his Guru, Narad Muni, happened to come. The great sage Narad Muni, you have all heard. So when Narad Muni came, he asked him, my dear Vedavyas, what is the reason for your distress? So Vedavyas replied very humbly. He said, my dear Lord, you are a knower of everything. You know everything. But nevertheless, just because you've asked this question, I will try to narrate to you. Then I am feeling extremely disturbed because although I have written all the Vedas and all the Puranas and everything, but still my heart is not satisfied. I am still very much disturbed, thinking that there's something missing in my life. What is the reason for that? So then Narad Muni told him. He actually scolded him. Of course, Narad Muni is a great devotee of the Lord and Vedavyas is Krishna himself. But nevertheless, encouraging people in sense gratification, in worldly enjoyment. So in the name of religion, you are actually encouraging people to enjoy worldly life. So what a great mistake you have done. You have given them so much facility that whatever material desires you have, you can get fulfilled by coming to the Vedas. And you have really missed the whole central point, Krishna. You have not stressed so much upon Krishna. He said, unless you glorify the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna, you talk about his pastimes, talk about his activities, glorify his name, fame, activities, pastimes and so on, you will never be satisfied, and neither anyone who reads the Vedas will ever be satisfied. So go on and narrate the pastimes of the Lord, talk about Shri Krishna and his activities, then you will be satisfied. So after Narad Muni left, after giving Vedavyas blessings, then immediately Vedavyas began to compose the Bhagavat Purana, the Srimad Bhagavatam. And this Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the cream of all the Vedic literature. The Bhagavad Gita was like the milk, correct? And the Bhagavatam is like the cream of that milk, the distilled essence of all whole Bhagavad Gita. It is in fact the advanced level of the Bhagavad Gita. So in this Srimad Bhagavatam, the real subject matter is Shri Krishna. Understanding the glories of the Lord, understanding his pastimes and activities. And then Vedavyas was completely satisfied. And therefore, all of us who read Bhagavad Gita and then Srimad Bhagavatam, we can also experience complete satisfaction in life. You will experience the complete bliss of life. Whereas you will notice that those people who are simply running around here and there, engaged in ritualistic performances of karma kanda, doing this homa, this japa, that japa, according to the priest who is telling you to do this or do that, if you have some disease, you do this, if there is some danger, you do that. So they're simply caught up in trying to avoid some dangers and get some material benefits. But such people, their mind is always agitated, always disturbed, no peace of mind, no higher goal in life. But the people who study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam properly, authoritatively, according to the devotional understanding, such people immediately become very happy and peaceful. So this is the secret of the Vedas. Vedaischa sarve aham eva vedyo. Knowing Krishna is the key. This is the whole point of the Vedas. And one who knows this, one who knows Krishna, automatically knows everything. Once upon a time, there was a Brahmin who was living in South India. This is about 500 years ago. As you know, Lord Krishna incarnated 500 years ago as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, during his sannyas days, immediately after he took sannyas, he decided to go to South India on a yatra, because there are so many holy places in South India. So he went to South India and he came to the famous temple of Ranganath, of Lord Vishnu. And at that place, he happened to come across a Brahmin. So this Brahmin, Lord Chaitanya was observing him from a distance. He had a book open in front of him. And he was crying tears, and the Bhagavad Gita was open. It happened to be the Bhagavad Gita. And all the other Brahmins who were around him, they were there making fun of him. Actually, this Brahmin was an illiterate man. He did not know how to read. But still, he had the Bhagavad Gita and he was absorbed in it. It appeared as if he was completely absorbed in it. So the other Brahmanas, they were making fun of him. So my dear Brahmana, which one, which chapter are you reading today? Yesterday you finished 5th chapter. Are you on the 6th chapter today? Or someone else would come and pull his leg and say, please explain to us the real meaning of this particular verse. Or please tell us the essence of this particular chapter. So in this way they would laugh and have fun, make fun of him. But that other Brahmana was least concerned. He was going on with his work. And he was completely absorbed. And Lord Chaitanya went up to him. And he said, my dear Brahmana, what are you reading? He said, my dear sir, this is the Bhagavad Gita. Now, I am an illiterate man. I don't know how to read or I don't know how to write. But nevertheless, because my Guru Maharaj has instructed me that I should read one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day, so I am reading, I am trying to read, I am keeping it open in front of me. I have heard that by the grace of the Guru, even a dumb man can speak, even a lame man can cross mountains. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayati girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurun dinatarinam. So I've heard that by the grace of the Guru all this is possible. So having firm faith in the instructions of my Guru, I am simply trying to keep this open and I am trying to read it. Whether I read or not, whether I'm able to understand or not, that is up to my Guru. If he helps me, I will understand. So Lord Chaitanya says, yes, this faith is very nice, but tell me, why are you crying? Why the tears are coming from your eyes? So this Brahmana said, I'm just thinking that here is this picture on this Bhagavad Gita of Lord Krishna driving the chariot of Arjuna. He said, just see the greatness of this Lord Krishna. He is a supreme Lord. He is a source of everything in this material world and the spiritual world. My Guru has told me that everything is coming from Him. This whole material creation is simply a fragment of His energy. He is sustaining the whole world simply by a fraction of His strength. And this Supreme Lord Shri Krishna is coming and actually taking the role of Arjuna's chauffeur, of his driver. And every time Arjuna is saying, you go here, he's going there. Every time he says, you go like that, he's going this way. You see, when in the earlier days, the charioteer used to be instructed on the battlefield, not by speaking, because there was so much noise in the battlefield that it would be difficult for this person to actually shout, you go left, you go right. So he would kick the particular panel of the rath. And depending on which side he kicked the rath, the sarathi would understand that he wants to turn right or left. So he said, just see, he's kicking right and left, Arjuna is kicking. And on his kicks, Krishna is actually understanding that I should turn left, I should turn right, and he's acting as his chauffeur. Just see how much he loves his devotees, to what extent he is able to actually serve his devotee in such a menial, humble position. In this world, even a normal man does not want to be another person's servant. But here is Krishna, the Supreme Lord, who is taking on such a humble position. And therefore, just thinking of this, my heart is melting. And tears are flowing from my eyes. Just see how great the Lord is. So then Lord Chaitanya embraced him. He said, yes, you have understood the Bhagavad Gita. You have understood the entire Vedic scriptures. And there is nothing left in this world for you to be known now. And this is exactly what Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. He says that for one who has known me, he knows everything. There is nothing else that remains to be known. And therefore, sarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. Lord Krishna says such a person wholeheartedly engages himself in my devotional service or my bhakti. So knowing Krishna means to engage in his devotional service. So knowing the Vedas means to know Krishna, and to know Krishna means to engage in his bhakti. So Lord Chaitanya told him, this is exactly the real purport of the Bhagavad Gita, of the whole Vedas, and you are the only one in this whole group of Brahmins who has understood the real message of the Vedas. All these people are simply ritualistic Brahmins. It is going to take them a long, long time to understand. Otherwise, simply they get proud, thinking, yes, I know everything, I'm a great Brahmin, I'm born in a high family. But because of that, they get proud. But because you're a simple person and you have faith in the Lord, therefore, all perfection will be achieved by you. You know the story of the Brahmin and the cobbler? Once upon a time, Narad Muni was about to go to Vaikuntha to visit Lord Narayan. So on the way, he passed two people. The first person was a Brahmin. This Brahmin was a very strong Brahmin, in the sense, very much strict about his vows and regulations. He would not budge from his regulations even an inch. If something had to be done at a particular time, he would do it exactly at that time. Even a little bit here and there, and he would do a lot of prayaschit and this and that. So very, very austere, strict Brahmin. So he came to this Brahmin, and the Brahmin asked him, my dear sir, where are you going? So he said, I'm going to Vaikuntha to meet Lord Narayan. Oh, really? So you please ask Lord Narayan on my behalf that this particular Brahmin is here. When is he going to come back to your kingdom? When is he going to get released from the cycle? When is he going to get released from the cycle of birth and death and come back to your kingdom? So Narad Muni said, all right. So he went ahead, and on this way he met this cobbler, Mochi. And this Mochi was busy doing his work, and he asked him, so my dear cobbler, I am going to Vaikuntha. Any message for the Lord? So he said, yes, you please ask him when I am going to come back. When I am going to come back to him. So Narad Muni said, all right. He went to Lord Narayan. So after he finished his business with Lord Narayan, his usual glorification, then he asked Lord Narayan, let's see, I met these two gentlemen on the way while coming here, and both of them were eager to know when they will come back to you. So Lord Narayan told him that, see, this Brahmin, he will take millions of births to come back to me. So Narad Muni was surprised, but he kept quiet. He said, what about this cobbler? He said, the cobbler will come back to me at the end of this very life. So Narad Muni is very surprised. He said, what is this? This Brahmin is such a pious man, such a strict man in following all the religious principles, and this cobbler, he's born in such a low class family, he's not educated, he doesn't know the Vedic literatures. So how is this possible? So Lord Narayan told Narad Muni, you will understand, just tell them that I was sewing an elephant through the eye of a needle. You see, those of you who know how to stitch, you know that when you put a sewing thread through the eye of a needle, as it is, it's very difficult. Very difficult to put it through. So Lord Narayan was saying, tell them that I was putting an elephant through the eye of this needle. So when Narad Muni came back, he came first to the Brahmin. He told, yes, I informed Lord Narayan about you. So really? So tell me, what was Lord Narayan doing there? First he said, well, tell me when I will go back. He said, Lord Narayan says that you will take millions of births to come. So Brahman was very offended. He said, what? You have made some mistake in hearing. It's not possible. Just see, I'm following all the principles so strictly. How can you say you have made some mistake in the question, or perhaps you've heard the answer wrongly? Lord Narayan can never say this. So anyway, he didn't believe him. He said, anyway, tell me, what was Lord Narayan doing there? I'm very curious to know. So Narad Muni replied that your Lord was actually putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. So then this cobbler said, now I think you are joking too much with me. First of all, you tell me that I have to go back to Vaikuntha after millions of births. That is joke enough. And now you are telling me that the Lord Narayan is putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. I think you are in a very joking mood today. So maybe when you are serious one day, I will talk to you. So he left and went. So Narad Muni realized that Lord Narayan, why Lord Narayan had said that about this Brahmin. Then he went ahead to the cobbler. And the cobbler was very happy to see him. So he said, my dear Narad Muni, did you meet Lord Narayan? What did he say? When will I go back to him? He said, Narayan was very pleased with you. He has said that you will go back to Vaikuntha at the end of this very life. He said, really, the Lord is so merciful. Just see, a fallen person like me, he is thinking eligible to come back to his kingdom. How glorious he is. But anyway, tell me, what was he doing there in Vaikuntha? So then Narad Muni told him that Lord Narayan was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle, and he was waiting for his reaction. So immediately, what did the cobbler do? Tears started coming from his eyes. He said, just see how wonderful my Lord Narayan is. How great he is. And it is not at all astounding that he is putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. After all, he has put a whole banyan tree in one little seed like this. The seed is so small of the banyan tree. If the whole banyan tree is contained within that one little seed, then what is the great thing, or what is the difficulty for him to put one little elephant through the eye of a needle? So he said, just see how wonderful are the activities of my Lord. And he, remembering the Lord, he began to cry tears of ecstasy. So then Narad Muni understood now why Lord Narayan had said that he is going to come back to him very soon in this life. So therefore we can see that this cobbler, although he was illiterate, he had understood the whole purpose of the Vedas. But this Brahmin, he was executing all the other purposes of the Vedas, following all the other rituals and ceremonies very strictly, but still he had lost track of the essence. He was following the path, but he forgot the destination. What is the whole purpose of all these things? In the Puranas also there is a nice quotation. The quotation goes, it's there in the Padma Purana. It is said, Smartavya satatam Vishnur Vismartavya na jatu chit Sarve vidhi nishedasyur etayor eva kinkaraha. First line says, Satat Smartavya satatam Vishnur, which means always try to remember Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. Vismartavya na jatu chit, never forget Lord Vishnu or Lord Krishna. And third, Sarve vidhi nishedasyur, that means all regulative principles, all rules and regulations, prohibitions, etc., what are they? They are etayor eva kinkaraha. They are simply servants of these two principles. Which two principles? To always remember Krishna and to never forget Krishna or the Supreme Lord. In other words, anyone who is always trying to remember the Lord with love and devotion and who is always striving to never forget Him, he has accomplished all the different rules and regulations of the Shastras. All the other rules and regulations are simply meant to bring us to this point of always thinking of Krishna, always remembering Him with love and devotion. That is why so many rules and regulations are given. If you are following all the rules and regulations and you do not remember Krishna at all with love and devotion, then what is the use? It's simply a waste of time. So therefore Lord Krishna says, you must know what is the purpose of reading all the Vedas. And Lord Krishna has come as Vedavyas himself, who is the compiler of the Vedanta Krit, the compiler of the Vedanta, to give us the real understanding of the Vedanta. There are so many commentators on the Vedanta now, and they're all commenting in front of their different mental speculations. Somebody saying, I think Vedanta is like this, I think Vedanta is like that. But what is the meaning of Vedanta? Veda, Anta. Veda means knowledge, Anta means ultimate, a highest. So Vedanta means the highest knowledge. And Vedavyas had written Vedanta Sutra, and even after that he was feeling dissatisfied, as I explained earlier. And it is only when he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the explanation or the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra, that he got some satisfaction. In other words, all the other Vedantists outside, they say that we are studying Vedanta. But in this age of Kali Yuga, you cannot understand Vedanta. We have to understand the author's commentary on the Vedanta, which is the Bhagavat Puran, the Srimad Bhagavatam. Then we will be able to understand what is the need for different commentaries on Vedanta. All these people outside who are giving so many lectures on Vedanta, they say, I have written a book on Vedanta. I have written a treatise on my interpretation of Vedanta. But what is the need for interpretation of all these people? Which is the best interpretation or the commentary? The author's commentary or someone else's commentary? Vedanta is written by Vedavyas. And Srimad Bhagavatam is his commentary on his own work, Vedanta. Therefore, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, automatically we understand the whole Vedanta. So the Vaishnavas therefore do not find the need to go to any other scripture, any other Vedanta. Simply the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, they are sufficient in all respects to bring us to the highest level of understanding. And Lord Krishna finally says here that He is the knower of the Vedas. What does it mean that He is the knower of the Vedas? Knower of the Vedas means that of course Lord Krishna knows everything. He is the source of all knowledge and therefore He knows everything. There is nothing that He doesn't know. But at the same time, what this phrase knower of everything also means is that we can also know everything only by His grace. You cannot understand Veda. You cannot understand any spiritual knowledge unless you have the grace of the Supreme Lord. You may have Sanskrit scholarship, you may be a PhD, you may have so many other material abilities, but if the grace of the Lord is not upon you, you cannot understand the Vedas. And for that grace, we need humility and devotion. Therefore, we find in the stories that I mentioned earlier, that Brahman, both the cases of the Brahmins, the one case the Brahmin and the other case the cobbler, because they were so devoted, they were so humble, they attracted the mercy of the Lord, and therefore they were able to understand. Therefore in the Svetashvatara Upanishad it is said, only one who has implicit faith and trust in the Lord and in the Guru, only he can understand the real purport of the Vedas. So the grace of the Lord is very necessary before we can understand these scriptures. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna mentions that of course you must be humble, but side by side you must follow my instructions very carefully. So following instructions means Lord Krishna is very kind to us in Kali Yuga. So he is giving us a very simple method in Kali Yuga. He says, just chant my holy names. There is no other way. Hare Nam, Hare Nam Eva Kevalam. Kalo na asti eva na asti eva na asti eva gatiranyatha. In this age of Kali Yuga, there is no other way, no other way, no other way except the name of Lord Hari. So simply chant that. This is the instruction that Lord Chaitanya's Guru gave to him. Of course, Lord Chaitanya is Krishna. But just like Narad Muni chastised Vedavyas, similarly, Lord Chaitanya's guru, Ishwar Puri, also chastised Lord Chaitanya because he was acting the role of a guru. And he said, "You are a great fool." That is what Lord Chaitanya said actually. Lord Chaitanya said that my guru has told me that I am a great fool and therefore I should not attempt to understand Vedanta. Rather, I should go to the essence of the Vedanta and simply chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And by simply chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, automatically I will understand everything of the Vedas, all of the Vedanta, everything will be known to me simply by chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It takes some faith and some Shraddha to understand this. But when you begin to chant, automatically you will understand, yes, this statement is true. All I need to do is to chant Hare Krishna and then we can be happy. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada had this important slogan, simply chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Whenever people came to him with so many problems for solution, he said, just chant Hare Krishna and be happy. So we should have faith in this one simple statement. This one simple statement is the essence of all the Vedas, of all the scriptures. And as Prabhupada said, anyone can do it. Even a child can do it, even an adult can do it. A literate person can do it or an illiterate person can do it. So much so that Prabhupada said even a cat or dog can participate in this and benefit. So in Kali Yuga, Lord Krishna is so merciful that he is enabling even the cats and dogs to get the essence of the whole Vedas. Just see. Which in the early ages was not possible even after long years of study. This is the grace of the Lord in Kali Yuga. So therefore if we don't take advantage of this, it will be the greatest misfortune that we have had in this human form of life. Therefore, we must all chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and the so many multifarious names of God with great faith, and in this way we can make our life perfect. Hare Krishna. So, are there any questions before the darshan opens?
You said the whole purpose of Vedas is to, Lord Krishna says, whole purpose of Vedas is to know me. Now in the purport, it is said that the Lord is not only all-pervading, He is also localized in every individual heart. He is not only worshipful as the impersonal Brahman, the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the localized Paramatma, but as the form of incarnation of Vedas as well. Now when we are talking about whole purpose of Vedas is to know me, we are talking about which form? And secondly, why is it said that localized Paramatma? Why is the word localized used?
What Lord Krishna is saying is that you have to understand Him as He is, and as you will see in just a few moments from now when the curtain opens. As He appears there on the altar, you have to think of Him exactly in that way. The Brahman and Paramatma are also aspects of the Lord, but they are not His supreme aspect. They are His portion. The Paramatma in the heart is a plenary portion. He is an expansion of the Supreme Lord Shri Krishna. Localized means that He is there, located in the region of your heart. He is seated then, therefore He is localized. He is localized and yet He is all-pervading. How is that? He is in your heart, but He is also in my heart. And He is in the heart of every living being, also in the heart of the ant, the heart of the plant. He is in the heart of every living being. Therefore He is all-pervading, but in a localized form. So that is Paramatma. The Brahman is the impersonal aspect that is all-pervading. So you cannot establish a relationship of love with Brahman. And the relationship of love with the Lord can be established in perfection when you see Lord Krishna as He is in His original supreme form. So that is the form in which we have to know the Supreme Lord Krishna. So we will stop here and we will have darshan and kirtan, and after that we will have a few more questions and then we will go for prasadam.